to continue with the topic of meat, we'll talk now about Shechita. Shechita is one of the earliest mitzvahs which was given to Klal Yisrael. We're told that Shechita was taught to Klal Yisrael and given as a mitzvah in Mora, after Yetzias Mitzrayim. But in truth, the basic mitzvah was given before Yetzias Mitzrayim, because the first mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, the opening posik in the parsha of HaChodesh, which speaks about the Korban Pesach. Over there it says that the Korban Pesach has to have Shechita, V'shochatu Oisai Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael Bein Hu Arboyim, and Shechita has to be made for the Korban, not just for Korban Pesach, but later we learn that Shechita is made for all Korbanos. And it was the details of Shechita, the special rules of Shechita, that were given over later on in the place called Mora, where Yidden arrived at shortly after Kriyas Yamsuf. And the Torah says, when it discusses Shechita, at the end of the Torah, in Parsha Re'eh, the Torah says, V'zavachta mebekorcha umitzoincha ka'asher tzivisicha. You should make Shechita on your cattle, and on your sheep and goats, in the manner that I instructed you. Ka'asher tzivisicha. And we're told that the instructions that the Torah alludes to over here were all given in that place called Mora. The Torah says there's shom sam loichoiku mishpat, that there were certain rules and there were certain dinim that were given in Mora, and Shechita is one of them. Now, what are these special rules? Well, for one thing, we know that Shechita means there has to be a sharp knife which slices through a portion of the neck, and it will cause the animal to die a swift and painless death. And it's only after the shechita is completed that the other preparations for the animal could be made, so that eventually the meat should be kosher and ready to be eaten. But there are special rules, which are called the Chomesh Hilchas Shechita, the five special halachas of Shechita. Chazal named them. They're called Shehiya, Drosa, Chaloda, Hagroma, and Ikur. Shehiya means that there can't be an interruption between one part of the Shechita and the other, and that for a time, from when the Shechita had already begun till it continues and becomes finished, this interruption should cover a certain span of time, which is called Shehiya, waiting time. There are many details that govern this rule. How long should the waiting time be? What's considered the beginning of Shechita? What's considered the end of Shechita? And there are many customs, but the way that we look at Shechita today is that any interruption in Shechita, even if it's just for a fraction of a second, is considered an interruption and will disallow the Shechita. The Shechita begins from when the knife cuts the first part of the animal, from when blood is drawn, and we go all the way till the end when the Shechita is totally completed. Any interruption that's done during that process is considered Shehiya and will invalidate the Shechita. The next halacha is Chaloda. Chaloda means that the knife, when it entered the neck, is exposed and not hidden. There's an animal called Chulda that burrows through the ground, and it's always hidden because it goes through tunnels and disappears and then comes out later on. If we take a knife and we stab the neck even if the shechita is a perfect shechita, it's still considered invalid because the knife is hidden during the process of shechita. The main cutting is done while the upper part of the neck is above the knife and the lower part of the neck is below the knife, and the knife is out of view. Here too, we don't allow any chaloda from the very beginning till the very end of shechita. And we have many questions as to what things are considered covers on the knife. Maybe the wool of the sheep is, if it would hide the knife, is that called a cover that invalidates the shechita? Perhaps some of the skin on the outside, even a small portion of it, maybe a cloth that's tied around the neck, would that invalidate the shechita? In practice, we say that anything that is sort of a tight cover over the shechita and hides the knife in any which way during the shechita is considered to be chaloda, and that invalidates the shechita. Another thing is called drasa. Drasa means to press. The shechita has to be accomplished by a lateral motion called holocha v'avor, moving from side to side. The knife has to be passed through the neck, first in one direction, then drawn back in the other direction, but it has to be a direction parallel to the neck of the animal, to the back of the neck, and it cannot be something which creates a downward press, but it has to be a horizontal motion, like sawing, cutting, rather than chopping. One of the descriptions of drasa given by Rashi is that you shouldn't press downward like you do when you chop a cucumber. But when you saw across back and forth, that's called a valid shechita. Drasa is where there's any downward pressure. Here too, there's a downward factor and there's a horizontal factor. It has to be done in a way which the main motion is horizontal, and you have to make sure that there's no noticeable downward action while the shechita is being done. If there is, it's called drasa. And it can be done again from beginning to end. The fourth is hagroma. Hagroma means that the knife shouldn't be tilted outside of a limited area within which the shechita has to take place. There's an upper limit when we're too close to the jaw, and there's a lower limit when we're too close to the interior of the body of the animal. It has to be within these two limits and not outside of it. It could be straight down, it could be slanty, but it must always be within these limits. Any slipping outside of these limits is called hagroma, and it disallows the shechita. One must be familiar with the anatomy of the animal. There's a voice box at the top of the windpipe. About halfway through that voice box is the upper limit of the shechita. In the trachea, there's a funnel type of opening that enters the food pipe. Here too, at a certain point in this funnel, it's considered the upper limit. The shechita cannot go too low either, so it should be kept away from where the neck enters the body. Now, what is shechita? Before we get to the fifth of the rules of shechita, what is shechita? Shechita is the cutting through with a knife of the food pipe and the windpipe, which are called simonim. There are many blood vessels that flow up and down from the body to the head in this general area, and when the two simonim are cut through, these blood vessels are generally cut, and a sudden surge of blood rushes out and causes the brain and to stop functioning and the pain centers to be shut off. That's why even if the animal threshes about, it's called a mefarcheses, still in all, the animal cannot sense any pain the moment the shechita is made. The entire shechita takes a very short time. It should be back and forth, and a larger animal, sometimes you have to go back and forth a few times, but the simonim have to be cut completely. We try to make every shechita such that the simonim should be completely severed from beginning to end. However, if in the case of an animal, the one entire simon is cut and the next one is cut through the majority of it, or even if both simonim are parallel and lay side by side, which is possible in the lower portion of the neck, and the majority of either simon is cut, we call that roiv, that's valid. And once in a while, things like this do happen. Shaykh thought he was cutting through the entire neck, and it was positioned in a way that he only cut through roiv. It's considered a valid shechita because most of each of the two pipes is cut through. In the case of a bird, even if just one of the two simonim, either one, is cut through, and even if roiv, the major part of even one simon is cut through, that's considered a valid shechita. These things happen rarely, but if it does, an expert shaychet should be brought over to take a look at it and to measure it and to see if you actually have the roiv of either one simon, one pipe in case of a bird, or two in case of an animal. The fifth of the five halachas of shechita is called ikur. Ikur is a drop more complicated than the others because there are two opinions as to what ikur is. According to the opinion of Rashi, we consider that ikur is where the knife has a nick. The sakan is a sakan peguma. And when that little pegam, which could barely be felt by the sensitive nail of the shechet, when that little pegam passes across the neck, it does a minuscule ripping of the neck rather than a cutting. And that ripping of the neck, as opposed to a smooth, clean cut, if there's no nick in the knife, that little bit of ripping is called ikur. According to a different opinion in Rishayim and the Baal Halachas Gedolos, that's not called ikur. That's, of course, invalid because it's not considered a shechita. But ikur is when the two simonim are not attached to the animal, if they were ripped out and they're just dangling, and then they're cut through. During the shechita, everything could be done properly. The motion of the shechita is perfect. The knife is perfect. But the simonim are not in the condition to undergo a shechita because they're dangling and they're not anchored firmly into the neck, into the jaw, and all the way up and down the full length of the neck. Past a certain amount, the simonim are called shmutois. They're detached, and they're not allowable for shechita, and they're considered akurim. That's the fifth halacha in Hilchos Shechita. A shochet who prepares to be a shochet, he trains. He has to go through three parts of very rigorous training. One is how to sharpen the knife. He does this through stones. There are stones that do a rough sharpening, and these stones are somewhat heavy grained so that they cut away a larger amount of metal, and then he used finer stones and still finer stones until he's able to make a point that's extremely sharp and perfectly smooth. And then the shaykh tests it by moving his fingernail back and forth and examining the knife to see if there's any roughness, any irregularity, any nick in the knife, or perhaps any protrusion of a little piece of metal that comes out of the surface of the knife near the point. Anything like that renders the knife unfit for shechita. So the shechet has to sharpen the knife to make it smooth and sharp. And afterwards he has to be boidik the knife. A full bedika really consists of 12 separate motions. The shechet has to run his fingernail back and forth along the top of the sharpness and has to test to see if there's any nick that he could feel in the nail. A highly trained shechet develops a sensitivity to feeling even the very slightest nick that the ordinary person couldn't feel. Then he has to run his fingernail back and forth on both sides of the blade, near the edge, on one side and then on the other side, to see if there's any irregularity, any protrusion in the edge of the knife, the side of the edge and the actual edge itself. So you have 6 bedikas, 3 surfaces, the right side, the left side, and the top, and forward and backward. Then he has to do the same 6 bedikas, but run it back and forth along the skin on his hand, very lightly, of course, otherwise he'll cut the skin, and that's called a bedika abisra. That's only done lightly because with the sharpness of the knives that we have today, the shechet couldn't do any more than that, and it's just usually done once a day. Now, there's another thing that a shechet has to learn, is how to do the actual action of shechita. How to position the knife in his hand, how to cut it back and forth in the most perfect way, that there shouldn't be any of the 5 conditions that we spoke about before. It should be open in a way which causes the neck to spread apart, and that's called a shechita mefuras, an open, visible shechita. And he has to know how to hold the neck with his other hand, if it's considered if he's shechting a bird. So let's say he's a righty, he holds the knife in his right hand and he positions the bird's neck between the fingers of his left hand, and he makes sure that everything is kept in a fixed position so that the knife could travel freely without the bird moving even the slightest bit. In the case of an animal, there are other restraining devices which make sure that the neck doesn't shake or tremble, and it could be shechted with ease and with total control by the shechet, who has others position the neck so that he could complete the shechita. The shechet must be, of course, a religious person. If he's not, then his shechita is invalid. There are fine differences between violations in a person's religious observance which make him invalid for shechita, and those that don't make him invalid. If it's only something small, occasional, and not considered important enough to render him unfit for shechita, then we could validate the shechita, but he has to be trained to be perfectly religious, observant, and God-fearing. Only such a person could be a shechet. Before a shechet is qualified for shechita, and he trains and he practices, he learns these 2 skills, how to make a perfect knife and how to actually carry out the action of shechita, so that there shouldn't be even the slightest chance of of a shechita that's unacceptable. And he does this and practices again and again until a master shochet, who has many, many years of experience and has a perfect reputation, observes him shecht, and then the shochet gives him a document which is called the hoidor. The hoidor is a declaration that he is qualified and that the expert shochtim watched him and examined his ability to sharpen, his ability to check the knife, his ability to make a shechita. They saw him actually do these things, and then they give him this hoidor. He takes this letter, signed by this expert shochet, and he goes to a rov and to seek a kabbalah. A kabbalah is a license to shecht. Now, the rov will look for additional things which the shochtim cannot, because the rov has to first check to see if he knows the halachas of shechita from beginning to end. That means the halachas of how one should shecht and what could go wrong with the shechita and how to recognize when something is amiss. There are halachas of shechita, the rules of shechita, that the shochet must be totally familiar with. And if he didn't master it all, then he's not qualified to shecht. That's one of the things that a shochet has to put a tremendous amount of work into. And when he's ready to get his kabbalah, he has to have a bechina, a test on all the dinim, all the rules of shechita. In addition, there's something that's as important as anything we mentioned, and that his personal piety, his fear of God, his Yerushamayim. That is something that a shochet must be well advanced in, and he has to be a person who's a Yirei Shamayim Meirabim, which means that he's just more than the average Yirei Shamayim. And the reason for this is because a shochet is going to be running his fingernail back and forth and checking the shechita to see if it was done perfectly. There's no one there who could observe and supervise his actions. 90% of the time, what he does will be between him and his creator, unless he's a God-fearing person. If he made something mistaken, something wrong, he might just decide to fix it up in a way which is unacceptable, and it'll turn out that the meat is really not allowed to be eaten. It's called an avela, if there was an improper shechita. So the shochet has to be a God-fearing person. To this end, the rov, before giving him the kabbalah, will check with the rabbis of his community, with his teachers in the yeshiva, and with those who know him, to make sure that he's a person whose character is exemplary, whose knowledge is perfect. The rov would check the chaydor to some degree as well. He'll surely take a look at the knives that the shochet prepared, and then perhaps nick one or two of them, just a very slight amount, see if the shochet is able to discover the nick, and then see if the shochet has the ability to sharpen it and restore its perfect condition. If all this is undergone by the shochet and he proves to be capable in every area, then the rov will give him his cherished document, which is the kabbalah, the license, the right to shecht, and he could take this paper and show it to places where shechita is performed. We call that the schlachtheiser, the slaughterhouse, and he is qualified and will be accepted for a job. The kabbalah that the shechit receives doesn't come easily, and after he has it, he cherishes it and makes sure that he's in a condition where there's nothing that was lost to him after he earned his Kabbalah. That's why the Shochet has to constantly review the halachas and constantly work on his character to see that there's nothing in him or in his knowledge and in his abilities which should reflect poorly on his Shechita. Next time we'll begin with the question of Shechita Munachas in Oimedes. That's the Shechita in case of an animal. What should the proper position of the animal be when Shechita is performed? Is there only one position, or is there a number of positions? Is there one that's better than the others? This is a subject that we'll pay attention to next time. Kol Tov.